All right. Good morning, everyone. What a privilege it is to be here today and to share God's word with you. This summer for my family, we spent a lot of time watching the Olympics on TV, and these athletes are amazing. I'm sure when they were children, their parents, teachers, coaches, friends, they saw they had potential. And now competing in the Olympics, they are on the largest stage, competing for the country to win a gold medal. And watching the Olympics and thinking about sharing my message today, I thought about what should I speak about. And so when I thought about somebody strong, the first person that popped in my head was the story of Samson. And so today I'd like to share the story of Samson from the book of Judges and see how we can learn from this story. A man set apart from God from birth, who had so much potential. He went from hero to zero. So let's bow and give thanks. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the great privilege we have to come here to Heather Bible Chapel this morning and to listen to your word. Lord, I pray that you may speak through me, that those here may not hear my words, but hear your message, and that we may be encouraged from your word and may receive this hope that you have put out there for us in your Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we give you thanks now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm just going to share a PowerPoint. So my topic will be on the book of Judges, chapter 13 to 16. So if you want, you can open up your Bibles. But I will have the verses up on the screen so you can refer to that. So just kind of going over a quick outline is I'm going to talk about God has a purpose for us. He had a purpose for Samson. He was set apart even from the very birth, and he had a purpose. And second, we're going to look into Samson's downfall, starting with a small sin, and then he was playing with sin and then lead to kind of his downfall. Then we're going to look into the lessons from Samson and how he compromised. We look into his downfall. And then at the end, God is a merciful God. He is forgiving. When I think of the story of Samson, I think, you know, you think that it's going to be like an amazing hero. Something is going to be spectacular. But actually, it's a sad story. It's actually quite tragic of how he kind of wasted his potential and just kind of had a downward spiral into sin. So let's start off here in Judges chapter 13, verse 14. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. While he was in Mahane-dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol, the mother held in her arms the baby for which she had prayed. This was a baby that God had promised. He was to be a special child. He was given a special name. His name was Samson. This name means sunshine. I think this is appropriate name for him as we read through the book of Judges. He seems to light up the room wherever he goes. He seems to be quite charming and entertaining. And he also has quite the wit. He likes riddles and he has a way with words. So Samson, from the very birth, he was called to be a Nazarite. What is a Nazarite? So we're going to read in Judges 13, 2-5. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." So at this time in the book of Judges, the Israelites have been kind of enslaved by the Philistines for 40 years. This has been the longest kind of up to then that they have been enslaved. And so God brought about judges to lead his people. And so Samson was chosen from birth to be a Nazarite, to be set apart, to be different, like the word holy, to be set apart, so for his purpose. So he was to be set aside for God. He wasn't to drink wine or anything intoxicating. He wasn't to touch anything unclean or dead. He was to let his hair grow. No razor was to ever come upon his head. His long hair was the sign that he was to be different and set aside. So one of the biggest attributes that we think of Samson is his strength. So Samson was anointed with the Spirit of God and had tremendous strength. Entire armies trembled at his presence. He killed 1,000 of God's enemies, the Philistines, with a donkey's jawbone in the field. He took the city gates of Gaza and put them on his back and carried it up on the hill and left it there. When a lion roared against Samson, he tore the lion apart like it was a young goat. There's something supernatural about his strength. His strength was in the power of God. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God would come upon him. So three verses are showed in Judges 14 and 6, Judges 14 and 19, Judges 15 and 14. It shows that the Holy Spirit of God came upon him, and then this supernatural power came upon him. So his strength was not in his hair, it was a symbol of that strength. So Samson from birth was set apart to bring deliverance of Israel from the Philistines, who then had been enslaved for 40 years. This was the longest oppression the nation had yet undergone, as we see here. So much potential we see in Samson, and also we see God's intended purpose for Samson. So the definition for potential is unrealized worth or value not seen, or having or showing the capacity to become or develop into something in the future. I hear this term used a lot in sports. I love watching sports. In the off season, professional teams are looking into new recruits, new players coming out of college, and they always mention this word: oh, this young athlete has so much potential. And so the team will draft them, try to pick them with their pick, and try to put all their hopes and all their kind of what their success for their team into this person. But sometimes the pressure could be too much, and sometimes we're let down all the expectations, and sometimes just the jumping from a different level, professional level, they could be a failure. And so sometimes the potential is not quite met or seen. And so we see this with Samson. He has so much potential. And actually, I see right in front of me, all of you sitting, so much potential, so many talents, so many gifted gifts and talents that we see. I see prayer warriors. I see musicians. I see Sunday school teachers, experienced Christians here. And I see children ready to be molded and to be taught. And so just a lot of potential in this room. So let us see what we can learn from Samson's story. Samson's story is not a happy story. It's a sad one. It's a story of him becoming from a hero to a zero, and not the other way around. He was bold before men, yet weak before women. The Spirit of God was upon him, yet he gave to the appetites of his flesh. He was to declare war upon his enemies, yet he fellowshipped with them. He fought the Lord's battles by day and broke the Lord's commandments by night. His name means light, but in the end of his life, he was in darkness and even had his eyes put out. It is perplexing how a person could soar so high yet go so low. So we see in chapter 13 of Judges, in the beginning of Samson's life, you would not know that he would sink to such depths. You would see such great potential. Actually, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, it says the Bible lists Samson as one of the heroes of faith. God remembers his faith, not his failure. Samson was a man of God. I believe we will see Samson in heaven. And once someone is a child of God, they are a child of God forever. That person can never again be a lost soul. Now, some may believe and think then, because I am saved, it makes no difference how I live. That is a very slippery slope, and it's actually a big lie. While a child of God may not lose his or her salvation, we have much to lose if we continue to sin, as we shall see through the story of Samson. So as we go through the story, I want us to take sin very seriously. Not just brush it aside. Not to flirt with sin, to play around with sin, but take it seriously, because sin will take us seriously and there's big consequences in that. So let's delve into Samson's downfall. And let's see how costly Samson's sin was. So Judges 14:1-3, Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." Now the Philistines, the God's enemies, and they had enslaved the Israelites for 40 years, they were the pagans. They were ungodly, they worshipped idols, not the one true God. So this here is the first step in Samson's downward journey. Samson had godly parents. They prayed for him. They had wisdom from God. They advised Samson not to marry this Philistine woman. And Samson disobeyed his parents, dishonored his parents, and decided to marry a woman who did not know the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" For myself, when Sheila and I, before we got married, we did some pre-marriage counseling. And one of the things that we learned was, you know, it's not just my family, or just it's not just me and Sheila coming together, it's our families coming together. And so if there was different beliefs in one family or the other, there could be some division when we come together. And so this is a kind of a picture in 2 Corinthians showing that we cannot be unevenly yoked. Both Sheila and I are believers in Christ. We love God. And it's difficult for us to get our kids ready in the morning to come to church on time. It's harder than going to work on Monday morning. And why is this? It's because, I believe that the devil is fighting against us. But also... it's difficult. And just imagine if one of us was not a believer, didn't have the same mindset or belief, it will be even more difficult to come to church. So when a couple gets married in the Lord, they are not one physically, psychologically, but also spiritually. So Samson failed to listen to his parents, failed to honor them. As a result, he dies a young man. I think commentary shows, just from the rituals, that he estimated that he died around his 30s or 40s, when he should have been in his prime, and he squandered his full potential that God set apart to him. So for the young ones here, honor your mother and father. Listen to your parents. In Judges 14:5-6, Samson went down to Timnah, together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in a power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. What is Samson doing in a vineyard? Was he not supposed to be, you know, drinking wine or even touch anything that came from a grapevine? At this point, you may think that this is not a very big thing, as he is just around the vineyard, not drinking it, but this is a warning. He's flirting around with sin, playing around with it, and this will always lead to destruction. Verses 10 to 19, "Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there." I think this word feast is also synonymous with a wine banquet, as this was the customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. "Let me tell you a riddle," Samson said to them. We can see Samson's wit here. "If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes." Let's pause here and let's go a little bit back in verses 5 to 9 in chapter 14, where it shows how Samson comes up with the riddle. So Samson, he killed a lion with his bare hands, as we mentioned, in the vineyard. And then a swarm of bees had entered the carcass, and there was honey there. Samson reached into the carcass and got a handful of honey. He ate the honey and gave some to his parents. However, he didn't tell them where he got it because he knew he wasn't supposed to be in that vineyard. So let's continue back in verse 13. So they say to Samson, "Tell us your riddle," they said. "Let's hear it." He replied, "Out of the eater came something sweet. Out of the strong, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet." So what's he referring to here? Out of the eater, he's referring to the lion. Something to eat, he's referring to the honey. Out of the strong, which is the lion, and something sweet, which is the honey. So for 3 days, they could not give the answer. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us?" Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, "You hate me. You don't really love me. You're giving my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer." "I haven't even explained it to my father or mother," he replied. "So why should I explain it to you?" She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day, he finally told her because she continued to press him. She in turn explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" Samson said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." So plowed my heifer in verse 18 means that they broke the rules. They cheated. No man plows with a heifer. A heifer is actually a milk cow. One plows with an oxen. So they cheated. They didn't play according to the rules. Samson was so infuriated that he killed 30 Philistines after that, took their garments, and paid off his debt. Now, what was Samson's purpose? Was he to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines? What's he doing here? It sounds like he's fighting his own personal wars or his own personal disagreements. It looks like he forgot what God's purpose was for him. As he hung around with the wrong crowd, he was hardened more and more by sin, forgetting his vow as a Nazarite. Now turning to verses 9 to 17, Samson gets his own people into trouble. They actually asked him to turn himself into the Philistines because the Philistine army was up against them. And Samson agreed. He surrendered, but then he came upon him, the Spirit of God upon Samson, when he was being surrendered to the Philistines. And with the jawbone of a donkey, he slayed 1,000 Philistines, just with the jawbone of a donkey. So verse 16 here in the New King James Version, it actually shows a little bit of play of words with Samson, as the word for donkey and heap are very similar in the Hebrew language, Haman and Hamor. With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. And he's saying this like in midst of battle. So it's kind of like he's just playing games. He's having fun. You know, he's just being him, you know, just kind of fooling around, and he's just playing around with the words there. Now we've seen Samson dishonor his parents. He's flirting with sin, playing around with sin. He forgot his purpose, and now we get to chapter 16 where he defiles his purity, and he's spending time and playing games with harlots. In chapter 16, verse 4, sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Sin that starts small does not end small. We may look around in the world and see others sinning and think, hey, it's okay. They're doing that. They're lying. They're cheating. They're stealing. Why can't I do the same? We are trained in this world today to be tolerant, trained by our schools, our government, by this world. Sin has a big price to pay, and the consequences for sin is very harsh. Chapter 16, verses 4 to 20. Delilah was offered between $3,000 and $5,000 to get the secret of Samson's strength. Delilah asked Samson what made him so strong, and Samson played the game. He said that if he were bound with seven green vines, that he wouldn't be able to get loose. And then while he was sleeping, Delilah bound him with seven vines and said that the Philistines were coming. Samson woke up and broke the vines easily. He then told Delilah. Delilah kept on pleading, "Tell me your secret." We see this is starting to become a slippery slope for him. Then he says, I was bound with brand new ropes, then I would be like any other man." And again, while he was asleep, Delilah bound him with new ropes. But again, just like the night before, Samson broke the ropes just like they were threads, and he was able to defeat the Philistines. Delilah continued to press on. So Samson said, he said that if seven locks of my hair were weaved in the weaver's loom, then he couldn't get loose. So we see here, we're getting closer. He's playing with his promise, his vow as a Nazarite, getting close to his head, to his hair. But again, he was able to get loose. Now finally, after much pleading and nagging from Delilah, Samson then, you know, we see Samson's playing a really, really risky game. And after breaking every other Nazarite vow up until this point, his uncut hair was the last vow, the last straw. The hair was the only thing left of his Nazarite vow. And Samson told Delilah that if she were to cut his hair, then he would be weak like any other man. So, 19 and 20. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the seven braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called Samson, "The Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before, and shake myself free." But he did not know the Lord had left him. This is actually quite a sad verse here, that he didn't even know the Lord had left him. He thought, just like all the other times, he would be able to break free. But this time, it was his own strength. He had none, and the Lord had left him. It's quite sad. So Samson's strength was not in his hair, but in the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God had left him. Samson was just like any other man. He had no strength, but he didn't even know it. Have we forgotten what our gifts are, what our talents are from God? Have we become prideful in our own accomplishments and forgotten to give God the glory in what we do every day? This is, even for myself, I need to remember and not just boast in my accomplishments, but give it back to God and to continue to develop my gifts in God and to serve Him with all my heart. Let's look at verses 21 and 24. Samson brings disgrace to God, and also, actually he makes it so that other people can mock God's people. So they took the mighty man of God down while the Spirit of God was gone from him. He was in the depth of sin and depravity. They put him in chains. They burned out his eyes. He was blind. One commentary says that when Samson's eyes were taken away from him, that was when he truly was able to really see. You know, the light was taken away from him. The sunshine was taken away from him. Then he was able to repent and see the true light of his ways. And after his sight was taken away from him, they took Samson like an animal and tried to post him at a mill. And he was grinding grain for the Philistines to give them, you know, the grain for the Philistines to eat to make them stronger. The Philistines laughed at him and ridiculed him. Verses 28 and 30. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which this temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one, his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he was alive. In verse 22 of chapter 16, it says actually the phrase, his hair began to grow again. And this is, I believe, the writer is using it as an artistic device. I think at this time, Samson, with his eyes taken away, his hair starting to grow, I think Samson began to think. He began to pray. He began to repent. God had brought him so low that finally his eyes began to open spiritually. Samson came back to God in remorse and repentance. He asked for one more chance. And no matter how low we have gone or how what we may have done in this world, God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. God is a God of second chances. Knowing that God will forgive us is not an encouragement to sin, but to, you know, to accept that amazing grace, his amazing love, and to strive to win rewards or treasures and not to waste our potential. Samson died a young man in his prime. So this kind of concludes the story. And so how do we, what can we learn here? Romans 3:23, verse 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ. Sin has big consequences. The consequence for sin is death. And so we need Jesus in our lives. That's the only way we can live. We sang, because he lives. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's amazing grace, his amazing love. We are blinded by our sin, our pride, this world around us. Let us be remembered by God and remember his purposes. Let us give glory to him who deserves all glory, and let us strive to win treasures in heaven and not be complacent with our sin and not just be satisfied with just salvation. So let us close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest love of all, that you sent your one and only Son to die for us, to take our place for our sins. Lord, I pray that we may listen to your word, that we may be encouraged to go out and to live for you, to serve you, to embrace your love, to embrace your commands. And I pray that we can share your word to those around us. And if we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that we may come to know him as Lord and Savior, and that we may not just boast in what we can do, but we can boast in what Jesus did for us, dying on the cross for us, Lord. So I pray, take us home in safety now. Bless each one here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.